demanded an urgent and horrifying news story.
I don't know if this is the kind of hard-hitting news you're used to.
Got some good news and I got some bad news.
Now, this could be the big story of the summer. Network is going to be wanting plenty of coverage.
What do you mean, silly? I mean, that's real news.
Top story of the day, presented by Lemons Heating and Cooling. Heating, air conditioning, duct cleaning. Call 970-567-0798. Okay, so we're done. Everybody's got a coach now? We're all set? The Commander's set to hire Cowboys defensive coordinator Dan Quinn as their next head coach, Quinn replacing Ron Rivera. And we kind of thought Quinn would be back whenever he was ready. I mean, he was a hot candidate last year. We kind of, you know, a lot of people thought maybe he'd end up in Denver, but he wanted to give it one more shot with Dallas. And obviously, they get bounced in the first round of the playoffs. So he's maybe thinking, okay, I tried that. I tried to see if I could get a ring with those guys, but no, I'm ready to get back into it. Good move by the Commanders. You good with Dan Quinn? Or does the Super Bowl still haunt every... Should the Super Bowl 40 blah, blah, blah still haunt every... Or 55, 6? Should it still haunt everybody?
It haunts me.
I mean...
It's all on him, right?
Like, you're the head coach. You're up 28-3.
Just kick the field goal. Make it 31-3. Just kick the field probably goal. Good.
Probably good. You would have been good, probably. I think he still got it.
Is he a head coach?
I think so. I mean, he got him to the Super Bowl, and the Falcons have done nothing really outside of that. So, even for the Commanders, I don't know that you want to... They're basically replacing a guy like Ron Rivera, who was more of a court. He was a good defensive coordinator, right? Was he defensive for the Chargers? Then he goes to the Panthers, right? And then it's over to Washington. A lot of times, and I think Tanner brought this up on Good Morning NoCo months ago or weeks ago, that the coaching hires are kind of like politics and presidents and stuff, where if we go this way for one run or maybe two runs, we go the complete opposite. You know, George Bush to Barack Obama to Donald Trump to Joe Biden. Like, those are all very different from each other. In the NFL, you do see that sometimes. Washington did not get that memo. They kind of stayed with not an older guy, but a veteran coach who's been a head coach, who's been a good coordinator for a while, and we're just going to stay that route, rather than one of those young and up-and-coming names. Or one of those elite guys like Bill Belichick.
Or a coach that took a team to a Super Bowl and didn't win it.
Hey, if you're the Commanders, if you can take us to the Super Bowl...
You can get us to the playoffs on a consistent basis. Can you compete in this division? Probably take that.
The division is like... that division, NFC East, it reminds me of, you know, when you're walking down the street and you go by the window dresser and you see something awesome in the window of a store and you're like, wow, what is in that store? That is great. I want to go in there because this thing is freaking awesome. And then when you go in there, the rest of the store sucks. Mm. Like, the NFC East to me is like window dressing. It's attractive. We've got a lot of cool quarterbacks. We've got some interesting defenses, some high profile head coaches. But then when you get in there, the meat of the place is kind of just like, has its moments, but...
It's good if Dallas is good. Philly, I can't get a read on moving forward.
Well, yeah. And
the Giants are the Giants. They're gonna be whatever they are. And the Commanders are kind of like, hey, we've got our ownership figured out.
We're a football team. We're not the football team, but we're
a football team.
Big Hub, how you feeling, man? He said, hey, watch it. We did our best in that Super Bowl.
First half you did.
Your
awesome.
First half you did. Fantastic. Is that your best? Like just one half of that, Big Hub? Come on, man.
You could have forced the ball to Julio a couple more times.
Big Hub played college football. What do coaches always say? Four quarters, E Hub. Four.
60 minutes.
60 minutes of hell, man. You got to go. It doesn't matter what you do in the first or second. Hub, you should know that more than anybody. You probably heard that. How many times do you think Big Hub has heard the term, it's four quarters, gentlemen? How many times do you think he's heard that?
Well, I'll give him this. It was 28-9 going into the fourth quarter. Patriots scored 19 points.
I don't know if that makes it better.
Falcons scored 0 points, and then it did go into overtime, and the Patriots scored a touchdown.
We had what we call a party. Literally, a friend of mine and his wife came over, and it was four of us and our kids, or their kids. We didn't have our kid at the time, I don't think. Dates and times, man. And I had picked the Patriots to win, and he said, "Oh, the Falcons are going to win." So he's like talking trash the entire time, and I just stayed quiet. It's a long game. We'll see what happens, and then Brady gets the dub. Patriots found a way. That is haunting, though. Those things are haunting. Those things, you talk about curses, Angel. You know, Miami, does Miami have a curse? Do the Bills have a wide right curse? Is Dan Quinn now plagued? Is it Dan Quinn's curse or is it Atlanta's curse? It's Dan Quinn's, right? Because nobody's really, in fairness, Atlanta hasn't done anything since that. So they haven't even been in a position to be cursed.
Well, it used to be Atlanta and partly Georgia as a state-city combination. But Georgia, the Bulldogs have won two titles. The Braves have won a title. So it's kind of on Dan Quinn now.
Well, because when Dan Quinn left and it was Matt Ryan was done, Atlanta just kind of faded into irrelevancy. Like, they're irrelevant. They're not. Yeah. Nobody cares. I'm sorry, Big Hub, but right now that's the truth. You know, you hire a coach like Arthur Smith and you do nothing. Like, you're not moving the needle at all. Mm-hmm. And they don't have Michael Vick anymore. Like, those were the days, man. That's when Atlanta was like the most, whether they were winning or losing, because they had Michael Vick, the former most electrifying man in all of sports and entertainment.
You bring in Julio Jones, who's really, really good, and then you let him go because, he's too old. And Matt Ryan has one solid great year and nothing after that. And yeah, you have Kyle Pitts and Bijan Robinson and Drake London. So, yeah, there's something there.
But yeah, Pitts, like,
you don't do nothing.
Is that dude's career just going to be there? Is he like, that's just going to be a good player that went and got buried somewhere?
It's fun to watch, but.
Yeah.
We're just dogging on the Falcons, right?
Sorry, Big Hub. Big Hub's like, dude, come on, man. And Big Hub is a great dude. But he is a Falcons guy. He's a Georgia guy. You know, he loves all the Georgia stuff and Atlanta stuff. And
to the credit, I do play. When I do a rookie in Madden, I play with the Falcons.
Why? What? Oh, because
it's a fun team to rebuild.
Because you start from scratch. You can make it in your own image, right?
Yeah, I mean, when you can trade Cordell Patterson to the Patriots for a second and a third round pick, you're going to do it.
Because you inherited some bull junk, right?
Yeah.
All right, tell me about the NBA. Looks like the Sixers are going to get slapped on the wrist for how they handled the Joel Embiid last weekend against the Nuggets.
Yes, came out right around noon. The NBA has fined the Philadelphia 76ers $75,000.
Not 76?
For failing to list Joel Embiid on the team's injury report in a, quote, inaccurate and timely manner ahead of their January 27th game in Denver.
Do you think, this is going to sound bad and conspiracy theory, but you like conspiracy theories. He definitely got hurt in the last game I saw Joel Embiid play. Guy came down on his knee, looked like it kind of hyperextended it or whatever. It looked bad. But Angel, do you think he was really that hurt? And then the reason the Philadelphia 76ers pushed him back out in that game against the Knicks was that, no, it was against Golden State, was because it's like, hey, we want to try to cover our butt here. Was he really that hurt before the Nuggets game? Because they didn't know until right then. And it's just, was it just an unfortunate coincidence for Philadelphia because he never plays there?
I think so. You know, Malone has talked about that game and, you know, we were expecting Joel to be playing. We were, you know, we kind of had to change our game plan a little bit because he wasn't playing. It was weird. Like he traveled with the team, showed up at the arena, did shoot around, did warm up, and then 15 minutes before go time, he's actually out.
Mm-hmm.
And then he's in the locker room for three quarters, watching on TV, I guess, or listening to or whatever he's doing.
It was weird. It was handled really weird.
And then I think on top of that, you follow with the NBA openly investigating it. He sits out, was that a Monday game, and then he plays against the Warriors because he's trying to maintain that eligibility number.
Does he not think, like, what's the reason? If there really is a reason that he doesn't want to play in Denver, why? Does he think his stat line's going to go down? The average is going to go down because it's altitude, it's Joker, it's all that. Because he's actually fared pretty well against the Nuggets.
We've seen players go off in Denver before.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, dude.
I don't know if the altitude has much of an effect on performance.
So is there really...
stats, more of just, okay, we're gassed in the second quarter.
So is there really a thing? Is that really a thing? Joel Embiid does not want to play in Denver? Or is it just a coincidence? It just happens that way.
It's interesting, the timing of it, because the last time he played there was in 2019, and that's when Jokic won his first MVP. Or
2021.
Okay.
And then 2022.
But that's kind of when Jokic started to come alive a little bit, mm-hmm. in 2019. So it's just strange. It's very strange. He goes off
weird.
Against the Nuggets in Philly every time.
Yeah.
And then, hey, come back, let's see how you play in my backyard. And nope, I got chores.
I got to sit back here and hang out. Well, there's that. Eastside Chris says, so will Hoodie go to Dallas as a defensive coordinator? If Jerry picks Bill, McCarthy better be watching his back. Well, for so many reasons, that won't happen.
I don't think Bill is taking a coordinator position.
I don't think so either. And he's not going to take one. They're not going to do that to McCarthy. Because if you struggle at all, then next man up, Bill Belichick. Right. Like, there's zero chance because... as soon as McCarthy lose, if the Cowboys start 0-2, as extreme as that is, 0-2, Cowboys fans are going to be all over it.
Or if they're 1-1, but they've given up 90 points in two games.
Yeah. They would say, well, get Belichick in there. Did the Cowboys make a mistake by keeping Mike McCarthy and not perhaps waiting it out to see who would be available?
Maybe.
I still don't know that it would work.
It kind of just feels like the McCarthy ceiling has been hit already, you know. Get to the playoffs, 11, 12 wins, it's great. But Dallas is supposed to be the team, like, I don't know where this narrative comes from, but they're supposed to be the winners all the time because America's team. Yeah.
Yeah, why does Dallas get the... Dallas gets the LeBron treatment on national media. Why? What have they done? LeBron is at least won championships. I don't know. When's the last one he won? 2020? Mm-hmm. So at least he's in there, and it's not a real... That was a Mickey Mouse championship, but he still won it. And then they won the mid-season thing, so...
Oh,
or in-season thing. Yeah, they got that, yeah. So how'd you forget about that?
I don't know. Maybe they should put a banner up. Oh, wait, oh, they did.
They did. But at least, at the very least, he's one of the greatest players of all time. The Cowboys haven't done anything.
Since the 90s.
They're maybe the best shot for them is they're a playoff team. Sometimes they go to the second round, but it's get talked about like they're LeBron James.
No other team, they don't get that kind of treatment. It's like if Dallas is good, okay, they're going to be good. They're going to the Super Bowl. This is their year. It never is.
Like Stephen A. on ESPN, every time the Cowboys lose, he does his little thing where he laughs really loud into the mm-hmm. thing. He just films.
How about them Cowboys?
And he films himself laughing. But I know Cowboys fans probably hate it, but actually. He's giving you more press than any other team because he does it every week.
Oh, and they get, you know, America's Game of the Week in Dallas, and they're taking on the Panthers.
It's just, I guess, nationally still the most popular team.
I've never met a Cowboys fan.
I know a few Cowboys fans. I do. They're just pop. It's a popular brand. The Super Bowls in the 90s. It's weird, though.
But that's why didn't 20 the years ago.
Why didn't the Super Bowls in the 90s do the same thing for the Broncos? You know, they won two in a row. How many did the Cowboys win? Three?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, three's... It's amazing how much more significant a third Super Bowl in a 10-year span is than two.
They went from Broncos went to Shanny for a little while, and the Cowboys went to Tony Romo mm-hmm. and Jason Garrett, and that was the combination, and they just never did much with it. The Broncos, then you get this weird year, couple of years with Peyton Manning. They become popular again, and then he retires, and it's, Broncos.
Yeah, but the Cowboys, they get no matter what they do. Like, the Broncos faded out of existence when Manning left, and then when Elway and ultimately Shanny left. But the Cowboys didn't get that treatment. They're still just, it must be nationally just the most popular brand as far as NFL teams go.
Strange.
Another NBA story here. Well, I got two NBA stories. Let's hit this one. Get this headline. NBA, no cause for alarm despite recent offensive eruptions. So they're worried that scoring is getting out of control in the NBA.
Hmm.
You know, well, with the players. Luka had 73, Embiid had 70, Devin Booker and Karl Anthony Townsend scored 62 the other night.
Booker scored like 40 points the last like 2 weeks.
Yeah, and this all happened in the last 2 weeks with all these guys doing that. That NBA officials aren't alarmed by such numbers. Joe Dumars is like, he went to a couple of games. He's the NBA executive vice president, so he's been checking it out. He said his favorite game of the season, Boston-Denver game, where Denver won 102-100, because he said defense can still win in this league. How about this? On that scoring eruption, there hadn't been an instance since April of 1978 of two players scoring at least 60 points in the same day until it happened twice last week. Embiid and Towns had their huge games. Doncic and Booker put on their scoring shows on January 26th. Is that a problem? Is that a problem for a guy? Like Wilt Chamberlain, we like to celebrate it, but when he got 100, right? We like to celebrate that, but it's also like, oh, really? Because they didn't really track everything?
Well, there's a weird theory out there that, you know, that never really happened. Like, there's no footage of it. There's no radio calls of it.
Seriously?
Or, like, complete radio calls of it.
There's no footage of it?
No. There's footage, but it's not, like, start to finish every single point.
I mean, honestly, though, I can see it happening. I mean, if Kobe can score, didn't Kobe score 70 when he was on his last game?
No, he scored 80.
Was it 80 when his final game of his career?
Not his final game, but early on in his career.
What was his final game? Did he score like 60? He had a big game.
He had a big game.
They let him score. Yeah. I mean, they just left him wide open.
He had like 20 points in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, they just like, yeah. It was his swan, and they weren't a playoff team, so that was it. That was his last go. Yeah. So I believe that Wilt did that. But is that something to celebrate now, or is it like, because Wilt was celebrated for it. Now guys do it, and a lot of people are like, that's the NBA, man, no defense. You know, no defense. I hate that
argument. Get more to the, like, the ball hog narrative. Like, let your other teammates shoot the ball. Like, I get it, you're hot, and you know, NBA Jam, the rim's on fire, but...
Dumars said he feels like it's the pace of the game, it's the amount of threes guys are shooting now.
Everybody shoots threes now.
Everybody. Centers, you know.
Jokic is shooting more threes as of late.
Well, it's easier. It's an easier road. Why get two when you can have three?
I mean, but Jokic isn't a point chaser.
No, but it just seems like it's, again, if you can make threes, it's easier on everybody. You don't have to work as hard in the paint. You avoid turnover chances, and you shoot, and obviously you get 3 points. What's not to love? Steph Curry changed the game the way he played. And now you see players play like that all the time now. I'm watching New Mexico and Boise State. Guys are throwing up threes left and right, even against San Diego State against CSU. That's not even the Aztecs game, but they're down by a bit. So they're like, we got to hurry up and catch back up. Let's just start launching. And they were making a bunch of them, but that's just the style of games now because people grew up watching what Steph Curry was doing.
Oh, I mean, a three-pointer now feels like it feels like a momentum shift.
Oh, yeah.
Like if you can hit two, three three-pointers in a row, coach got to call a timeout.
Yeah. Scoring league-wide entering Wednesday is up just 0.78% over last season. That's from 114.7 points per game to 115.6 points per game. The jump was bigger last season, was when it rose 3.7% over the rate of 110.6 to 100 from 110 to 114. So from 2 years ago to last year, it rose almost four points. Now it's only at 1 point. It just, we've seen craziness happen.
Yeah, I mean, it's very rare to see a game that's around or just below or just above 100 points
mm-hmm.
at the final.
Yeah.
You're seeing games like 114 to 112 or something.
Yeah, it's nothing for teams in that over-under department to get 220 now total.
Say, at the under, it's a bolder pick.
Yeah. Might make more money doing that.
I'm just saying.
Yeah.
It's easy to pick an over. Take the under.
Take the under, man. But then you're rooting for defense. Nobody wants to root for defense.
You're rooting for better, more competitive games.
Nobody wants defense, Angel. You know how it is.
It's that risk. If you're going to already risk your money gambling on sports, why not go a step further than that? Let me take the under.
What's more stressful to when you bet on, to watch? You know, because if you bet the over, you're like, got to score here. Oh, got to score here. If you bet the under, then it's like, come on, slow this possession down, defense. What's more stressful, I wonder? Because they both...
Probably the overs, but the risk-reward with unders mm-hmm. is... Ooh, That's a smart call because nobody's taking the under.
That makes sense. It's a big overworld. Steamway Floor to Ceiling. They've been family owned for over 35 years. You guys on a budget, you want to remodel though, you got some plans that you've been thinking about for a long time. Well, you don't know till you ask. Maybe sit down with Steamway Floor to Ceiling and start going over some plans. They'll work with you on so many different options. Financing options are available for personal in-home design services. Steamway Floor to Ceiling. Check them out at steamwayfloridaceiling.com. Let me read this text. When Luka scored 73, the Hawks literally did nothing. It was a fluka. 73 point. That is good. That is good, Hub. That's well done. Susan and Cheryl in on that one. Yeah, very good. 26 minutes after the hour. I got Cody Tucker, 7220sports.com, going to join me at the bottom of the hour. We'll also catch up with Zach Stevens. We're going to go all Russell Wilson. Everything. What are the real possibilities of Russell Wilson being a starting quarterback next year? We'll get into that with Zach and so much more. It's the whole show powered by Chevron, live from the Aloe Fiber Studios. We'll be right back.
Super Bowl 58 is on Northern Colorado's voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Jeff Linder, head men's basketball coach of the University of Wyoming Cowboys, and you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
Minutes after the hour. Welcome back to the whole show, powered by Chevron. Joining me now on the First Advantage Hotline, we're talking to Cody Tucker of 7220sports.com. He is our official Wyoming Cowboys insider. And, still, I think Cowboys fans are still riding high. They've won two in a row. They've won four out of the last five games. They're feeling really good. Now, again, the schedule for them, they haven't been playing all the world beaters, save for beating Colorado State. They lost to San Diego State. But this Cowboys team is, you can't say gritty, because they play with a high-functioning offensive style where they're not, like, grinding. They're scoring. I mean, this team can score. Jeff Linder getting those guys, man, those three guys that are just lighting it up in Walters and Cott and Wenzel, like these, and Griffin's been good. The Cowboys, that's a fighting team right there, man. I mean, 12-9, 5-3 overall. We're trying to get Cody on right now. We got him. We made it happen somehow, some way. We do have Cody Tucker on. Cody, I know the Cowboys beat Air Force recently, but I think a lot of Cowboys fans are still living in that world, that crazy world where they come all the way back and beat Colorado State in the last minute of the game.
Yeah, man, it just made Colorado Springs on Tuesday night almost, it was a must win. That would have been a gigantic letdown to go into that, to a half, you know, a quarter full Clune Arena and lose that game to that Air Force team. So I was really, I know we're all still talking about CSU, but I was really proud of the way they handled business. It didn't take a last minute shot. It didn't take anything crazy. They took care of business.
I think that's key, like the follow up there, because it was an emotional win, an unlikely win. But how do you go up against Air Force and find a way to win that game? That was, I agree with you 100%. That was the challenge. Can you come back down to earth and focus on a basketball game?
Yeah, that would have killed all momentum. And the Cowboys are feeling really good. And, you know, I was talking to the other beat writers after the game, and we were looking at the conference standings, and we're like, Wyoming's ahead of Colorado State. They're ahead of Nevada. They're ahead of UNLV, and they're tied with San Diego State, and which now they're right there ahead of San Diego State. So it's hard to believe, but they need to keep doing this. And I've heard you talk about it. I know I've talked about it. Winning on the road in this league just hasn't been happening with any consistency. So a game like Air Force on the road, San Jose State on the road, you have to win that game.
You absolutely do. I mean, yeah, you got to find a way to get it done. This Cowboys team, though, Cody, has surprised a lot of people. But now you're starting to believe, right? I think there's fans that are starting to believe that maybe this team, I don't know if anybody's predicting them to go dancing, but maybe this team gets into the conference tournament and makes some freaking noise. We've seen it done historically by the Cowboys.
I've been writing it all year that this Cowboys team just needs to create chaos, and boy, have they done that so far. So, you know, UNLV, they're going into a place, I just wrote about it, at they're going into a place they haven't won in the regular season since 2003. That's 19 losses inside the Thomas and Mack against the Rebels. But, you know, you see an Air Force team go in there and hammer them 90-58 last week, and you see UNLV go on the road and beat Boise State. So you never know what UNLV team you're going to get, and that's the beauty of this Wyoming team right now, is they're actually playing with that consistency, and you think you know what Wyoming team you're going to get. You're going to get Mason Walters down low and his passing abilities. Coach Lenders said it for a long time that his passing abilities remind him of Hunter Maldonado, and we've certainly seen flashes of that. And when he draws a crowd, that leaves Sam Griffin, Aquil Cott, and like Tuesday night, Brendan Wenzel, who can hit six threes on you and drop 25 points. So we think we know what Wyoming team we're going to see. The problem has been the turnovers, and the last 2 weeks they've really rectified that.
Yeah, and just so many guys that, I mean, they have, like all those guys you just mentioned right there on any given night, not just one guy is going to go off. You're probably going to get two or three, and if you can get four, look out. I mean, they're going to get after it. But talk to us, Cody, a little bit about what happened Tuesday night between Coach Linder and Brendan Wenzel. Like, that exchange between the two that kind of lit a fire under Brendan.
Yeah, you know, at the beginning, they did this same thing last year. They didn't cover Bo Becker on the arc. They let him go nuts. He hit five threes, and it ended up being too much to overcome. The other night, they let Kellen Boylan, they left him alone all night long, and he was hitting wide open threes left and right. He hit nine of them, which tied a school record. And, you know, he hit three right off the bat, and you could tell Wenzel's just, like, going to the sideline, like, Coach, are you sure about this? Like, this kid's obviously hot. We need to pop out and get a hand in this kid's face. And he said, nope, we're going to ride with this, and that's what they did. And Wenzel just went out, and he had a bunch of open looks too, and that's mainly because Mason Walters was just banging down low, and Air Force didn't have an answer for him, and Wenzel was getting open, and he was hitting his shots. So it was interesting to hear, because I asked Linder the same thing postgame. I was like, did you ever, when you see a guy get that hot, don't you think, yeah, we might abandon this game plan. This guy's just too hot. And he didn't, and Air Force's other double-digit scorers didn't do what they do. So that was the plan, and they followed it to perfection. And thank God Wyoming had 320-plus scorers, because that Kellen Boylan kid was extremely hot, finished with 32 points, and was just hitting everything.
This is ridiculous, man. I mean, that was Wyoming's down at the half, but when they started coming back and then they started kind of pulling away, when you got a guy on the other side scoring like that, nothing is safe.
Yeah, it was a little concerning. We were definitely all having flashbacks to last year in Colorado Springs, because Bo Becker couldn't miss. And, yeah, it was just way too much for that team to overcome. But, you know, Linder put it perfectly when we were standing in the tunnel. He said, literally night and day compared to when we were standing in this tunnel last year, all the way from the performance on the court to it was 65 degrees, and last year it was a blizzard, and they got stuck on Highway 287 in a bus for like 8 hours, and the whole team had to go to the one side of the bus so it didn't tip over and go down a hill. So,
wow.
A lot different. This whole year, you could say, is night and day compared to last year's disaster.
Well, yeah. I mean, just looking at what they've been able to do and overcoming, you know, all the struggles from last year. And I know Coach Linder had a weird offseason for sure. Not weird, but sad, too. I mean, he lost his father, and then I believe in that instance, when he's, correct me if I'm wrong, but he's attending his father's funeral, and then isn't shortly, or like around that time, is when Graham Ike announced that he was leaving.
Yeah, that day. Not great timing for the big man, for sure. Yeah, I was actually at the funeral, and when I pulled up, I talked to you that day, and I pulled up and showed Kevin McKinney from UW, showed him that tweet, and he was just like, man. I mean, it was a gut punch, but, you know, the whole year was a gut punch. It was the weirdest, most bizarre thing to go into a year to be picked to be neck and neck with San Diego State, a team that goes on to the national championship. And you get three guys out of the portal that all played AAU ball together, that played at UCLA and USC, and you're thinking, oh, my God, you know, the sky's the limit for this team. Anything less than a Sweet 16 is going to be a letdown. Next thing you know, they win nine games, their best player never leaves the bench, and the entire roster is in the portal.
I mean, it was just, it was, I looked at it going, man, when Linder started at Wyoming, it looked like he's going to get a lot of offers. And then at the end of last year, it was like everything that could go wrong is going wrong. And I know he was extremely frustrated with it, with the state of basketball, too, the way it is. But going back to that Graham EK thing, man, I mean, I get it. You got to make a decision for yourself, and it's Gonzaga. I understand that. But come on, maybe, I mean, was it the end of the window or anything? Could he have given it 24 hours?
No, I believe we were 2 weeks into the portal situation already. Linder's father passed away during the Mountain West tournament. Linder didn't even coach in the Mountain West tournament for the Cowboys. One and done, lost to New Mexico last year in the Thomas and Mack Center. So it had been about a week or two, I believe, at that point where the portal had already been open. It was really poorly timed, no doubt about it. I don't know that Jeff has ill will toward Graham and all that. I know he really loved Graham, and I know he really wanted him to stay. So I don't know how that whole situation is. I think he just wants that thing in the rearview mirror, and every win these Cowboys are putting out is doing that. It's putting it further in the rearview, and it's showing that, you know what, Jeff said it a lot last year. He goes, guys, I didn't forget how to coach all of a sudden. You know, AKA, there's problems outside of my control. And there was a ton of injuries and a ton of upheaval in that locker room. And now he's got guys. He brought in these dudes, you know, the NAIA Player of the Year, a D2 All-American, a journeyman in Sam Griffin, guys who all came here with a chip on their shoulder. And nobody has a bigger chip on their shoulder right now than Jeff Linder. And he said last week, I'm starting to get my fight back. The guys are seeing it, and we're seeing the results.
It's one of my favorite personalities around here as far as head coaches go, around like our area here up north. And they're doing something right. They're winners of four of their last five, Cody. So, again, you mentioned it. You go at UNLV, and then you're home against New Mexico, home against Utah State. We're going to find out, I suppose, if Wyoming really is gonna turn out to be one of those upper echelon teams, kind of middle of the road. But I think we've all been impressed so far.
Yeah, and I mean, Brady, who in the world would have thought we'd even be having this conversation?
Correct.
Right now?
Yeah.
I mean, and I love it. And that's why, personally, I would love to see them go into UNLV and find a way to win that game, because the crowd would be fully behind this team. It'd be a packed house in the AA for New Mexico and Utah State. And the Cowboys have only lost one time at home this year. And it really, that CSU game, there's no doubt about it, that crowd of 7,000 plus had something to do with Wyoming pulling that game out. And I heard Linder on your show yesterday talking about it, man. He's playing in front of all these sold-out crowds, and Wyoming, arguably, when things are good, is the best of the best. They're right there with the Pit and right there with the Spectrum and right there with Viejas. It just hasn't been good over the last, you know, year plus. So when it's good, it's really good. And we saw that the year they won 25 games and ended up in the first four of the NCAA tournament.
Well, we'll see what they do coming up on Saturday. I had Linder on. I thought he'd forgotten all about me, man. I thought he forgot who I was. And he gets on and he's like, what the hell, man? You know, I go to Wyoming and I'm just nothing. So I made a mistake. And I do not want to get on that guy's bad side, I'll tell you that.
I'll tell you, he takes receipts too, man. and he reads your stuff, and he takes receipts. After that CSU game, he sat down and looked at us and said, "Well, you can't write about turnovers today." and after Nevada, nobody thought they had a shot, especially Nevada's beat writer. And he said, "Yeah, I won't be reading that anymore. Don't believe everything you read."
No, and I there's a part of me that really likes that. I like that coaches are checking in on stuff that's being said about them, whatever, and then fire back once in a while. It's fun, man. It makes it all kind of worth it.
Absolutely. I love it. And it's funny because Craig Bohl was a guy who would go, you know, I don't read any of your stuff. And then he would literally get on you about something he read in your story. And go, yeah, you read it all.
Well, yeah, he's on the show yesterday, and he referenced the show right before us. We got a Hall of Fame high school basketball coach that hosts a high school prep show, Bruce Dick. And, you know, he made mention of that. And I'm like, dude, are you still listening or what? You won't admit that. But I have a feeling his ears are perking up once in a while.
Yes.
Cody, always love your work, man. It sounds like you got the assistant back there working today.
I sure do. We had to get ear tubes put in down in Brooklyn.
Oh, man.
Those
are
not acting like she just said.
I can't hear. She sounds happy, man. She sounds pumped.
She's pretty happy. She keeps saying hi to you, but I keep ignoring her.
Put her. Can you have her say hi? You could hold it up in the air. Just say hello. Hi.
Say hi, Brady.
Well, hello. You keep your dad in line, okay?
me off the computer, so I appreciate it.
I love it, man. Cody, man, you're one of the great ones, my friend. A great writer, great Wyoming insider, and you know, an extremely great father too. Appreciate all your work, my man.
Thanks, brother. I appreciate you. You guys have a great day.
You too, Cody Tucker. That's a first. That's a first. Breaking news. We got Cody's little tiny. I'm friends with him on Facebook, and she's this little doll. She's a cutie. You got to be careful with this girl, though, someday, because he's already got her on the Pantera route. She's already in the heavy metal world, so you do not mess with her, man. You be ready. Be ready for thunder. So she's great.
She's throwing punches.
No, she sounded like she was sweet. She got the tubes in, and she's like, "Hi." My kid was like, "Go away now." Don't, like, those things are interesting. 44 minutes after the hour. Angel, let's jump out and get the latest on the local sports flash.
This is Brian Howell, Colorado Buffalo's beat writer for the Buff Zone, and you are listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
If you guys miss any of our shows and you can't catch the entire, we're 3 hours, baby. I mean, I know sometimes it's hard to sit down and listen, or you're driving, you're getting to your place. If you want to, you can download or follow us for all of our podcasts. Best way to do it, most people have Apple phones, right? Most people? Most? What's the percentage there?
Probably 55, 45, maybe.
Apple? So the better percentage.
I don't have.
You don't have Apple, huh?
No, I can't stand it.
Oh, I love it. Although I've never had anything else, so. But if you do, it's free, so you can download that app and then just follow The Whole Show. Just search The Whole Show archives, and you can have all of our programs, all of our interviews. Angel cuts everything up, so our chat with Cody Tucker, our chat with Kevin Lytle and Jeff Linder, if you just want to hear those, you missed the interview, you can go find them, or you want to hear the whole show later on. You can do that too. You can find us on Apple Podcasts. We're on Spotify, available at 1310kfk.com, thewholeshow.com. Basically, if you want to listen to the programs and you miss some of it, you're going to be able to find it. So we love having you follow the program and sticking with us on a daily basis. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. It is Thursday, which means at Cable's Pub and Grill, we got Fiesta Thursdays happening, man. Smothered burritos for just $10.99 and house margaritas for $4. Cable's Pub and Grill, that's where my friends meet. 12:49 the time. We'll take a quick break. I'll wrap up hour number one. We got buy or sell coming up. I've got Zach Stevens set to join me in the final hour of the show. What could happen with Russell Wilson? What are all the real possibilities for Russ? And is there one that calls for Russ to be the starting quarterback for the Denver Broncos next season? We'll talk about all that and more coming up next.
Super Bowl 58 is on Northern Colorado's voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hey, it's Andrew Bogish from CBS Sports Radio. You're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
There you go, Angel. You know I'm a sucker for some AC/DC, so kind of make it an AC/DC type of day. You know, I wouldn't fight you on that. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. Kane Doolin McQuinn Young Law Firm sponsors this program. A lot of our UNC coverage, our morning show, they're all over the place because they want to get the word out. Because maybe you or somebody you know has been involved in an accident because due to a negligent driver. There's only one law firm to contact, and I mean it. One law firm that you can trust. Kane, Doolin, McQuinn, and Young Law Firm at TrialProven.com. We've interviewed their attorneys on this show, Good Morning NOCO, and there's no BS there. There's none of that stuff you see with the slick back hair dudes on the TV commercials and all that stuff. And they're like, hey, would you call me? No. That's not the case with these guys. My guy, Jerry Schimmel, one of the most professional human beings in the history of the earth and great guys, vouches for Kane Doolin McQuinn Young Law Firm. So you guys, if you know somebody and they're frustrated and they're trying to figure it out, these guys have won some cases now. They have won a lot of cases. Check them out at trialproven.com. Live from the Aloe Fiber Studios, it's the whole show powered by Chevron. Poll question of the day, how many games will the Colorado Buffaloes win in 2024? And I got the poll question up. It's interesting. Not a lot of buy-in here, at least on my Twitter page, and I'll be fair on that. 44% say 3 to 5. 25% say 6. They're going to get enough to get a bowl. 11% would be what you call the believers, the ones that Coach Prime wants. Do you believe now? The buff leavers. And 18% say 0 to 3. So 18% is a lot of Rams fans that I have following me, I'm sure. But 44%, that's still kind of where everybody's meeting, is they're going to win 3 to 5 games. They're going to miss a bowl game. It would be considered a failed season if they miss out on at least a bowl game.
I agree.
Success if they make it to a bowl game.
Depends who you ask.
That's the thing. He sets the bar so high that just 6 wins would be rough.
Bar and throw it into the stratosphere.
Well, that's true. They have a bar, and then when they don't meet that bar, and a lot of fans do this. Our goal is 6 wins. We got to do it. We have to get into a bowl. And then they go 5 wins, and they're like, yeah, but we're still one game better than we were last year. You know, and that's progress. That's progress. No question about it. All right, in the second hour, we got buy or sell coming up. AFC West, I'll take a look at that. Zach Stevens will join me. We'll take a look at tonight's big game for the UNC Bears. They got to win this one. It's an Idaho State game. You want to win the games you're supposed to win. The Bears have been on fire. Really? I mean, they've lost 2 games since around Christmas time or something like that. This team's on absolute fire. So can they keep it going tonight? You're going to hear that game right here on 103.1 at 1310 KFKA. It's the whole show. We'll be right back.